Lord, we thank you, we love you, we need you. And we bless you, Lord, and we thank you for your word. It's a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. It's a blueprint, Lord. It illuminates the way, Lord, as we try our best to navigate through a dark, fallen, dying, broken, and decaying world. The light of your word, Lord, it teaches us how to live and how to forgive and how to love and how to think and how to act and how to respond. So we thank you, Lord. Teach us now. We open our hearts and our minds to receive from the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, give us your wisdom this morning. We need your wisdom. Give us discernment, Lord. Let us rightly divide your word of truth, Lord. Speak to us now. God, we need you more today than we did yesterday. God, so much happens from Sunday to Sunday. God, we need you. God, we love you. Speak to us. Give us strength. Give us comfort. Chasten us through your word. Prune us through your word, Lord. We're praying for revelation that leads to transformation, God. And then we go out and turn it into application where we live this thing. We don't want to just be hearers of your word, but we want to be doers as well. So we're praying and fasting for a miracle. He'll deliver, set free. Thank you for what you did during worship, God. Comforting, giving us peace, encouraging our hearts, and challenging us to be more mature and better for you. We thank you, God, for what you've already done. Speak to us now through your word. We beg, we ask, and we plead, Lord. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So, family, as we continue the series on being a good shepherd, we pick it up and we're just going to do a little bit of review. Acts chapter 20 and verse 28 says, take heed, beware therefore unto yourselves, unto all the flock. You should have flock underlined, and the flock right there in the Greek, it means sheep, it means disciples, it means Christians. All right, so there's sheep that God has called us to oversee. The Holy Ghost has allowed us to oversee them. And so we have to take heed of the flock, to shepherd them. And family, that's like our kids. Somebody say amen. Whether you have one kid or you have two kids or you have three, that's the flock that God has allowed you to oversee. Amen. Am I on? No? All right. So there's a flock for us to oversee. And if I can get this right, you probably could hear me. Amen? No? All right. So think of yourself as a shepherd. All right, I think we're good now. Just turn it down just a little bit, John. The Lord has spoken. So you look at yourself as a shepherd. God says that we're to oversee them. We've been empowered by the Holy Ghost, feed the church of God, which Christ has purchased with his own blood. And that's not just the pastor. There's people in our lives that God has allowed us to mentor, to coach, to oversee as Christians. And Paul tells us why is we have to be diligent. Verse 29, for I know this, that after my departing shall grievous savage wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. So there's wolves that want to kill, steal, and destroy, influenced by Satan, to destroy the church, to destroy your family, to destroy your marriage, to destroy your ministry. And Paul says we have to be on guard. Amen. He says again in verse 1, that after my departing, so he's saying that there are savage wolves waiting for you and I when we leave here today. It's a lot of false prophecy out there, families, waiting for us to distract us, to discourage us, to have us go away from the truth that is in Christ. Then he says in verse 30, also of your own selves shall men arise speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. That's the tough one when it comes from within the church. So family, we always have to be on guard.
That's right.
We need the women's fellowship. We need the men's discipleship so that we make sure that we're all on the same page preaching the same word. Mm-hmm. We need to teach our youth.
Yeah.
We have to stay on guard. Make sure we're on the same page. And if it's some doctrine that's a little bit off, let's find out what's the reason that it's off, what's being misinterpreted. Bible tells us to rightly divide the word of truth. So we have to be on guard. And family, you all know, before I came here, I was just guest speaking here for a while. I came and next thing I know, I'm the pastor. That's 8 years ago. Somebody say amen. But I was at another ministry and I was content there. Make a note, because God's been speaking that somebody, you need to be content where you are. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Was content there. I wasn't looking for to be a pastor. I wasn't looking for anything. I really was content. I was, and besides, I'd been there for 17 years as an associate pastor, an executive pastor, not seen so much. I knew I never wanted to be a senior pastor. Somebody say amen. Nobody in their right mind signs up for this. Somebody say amen. It's just too much. So when he talks about from among yourselves. So here we are in church. This is at my previous ministry. And we have one of the pastors who secretly marries a member. Secretly marries a member. And when he was called on the carpet about it, he left and took some members with him and started his own church. Now hear what I'm saying. From among you, your own selves, shall men arise speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after themselves. Now I've seen this with my own eyes. I'm not making this up. You can't make this up. So two things it taught me is that you got to trust God. Because men and women are flawed. Somebody say amen. There's no perfect church. Men and women are flawed. You got to trust God. And when God puts you in the house of God, you stay focused on God and you help the ministry. Amen?
Amen.
Don't get caught up in what people are doing, because the word has already spoken it. It's going to happen. That's why we got to know our word. I don't have to tell you that the marriage didn't last a year, neither did the church. Right? But here's the problem. The sheep were scattered, shattered, and battered. Right, Sister Caraway? You got sheep scattered, shattered, and battered. And the only person gets the glory from that is the enemy. So we got to make sure that we stay with what God is doing, and we have to guard ourselves because no one's above that. Amen? This is stuff that I've seen. The Lord allowed me to be on the board of that church for years. And just to see the inside out workings and family, that's why I tell you, we're not going to play games here. We're not going to do tricks and gimmicks. We're not going to do none of that. Amen?
Yeah.
We can't. It's just, it's too much going on for you to have to come to church and play games too.
Amen?
Amen? And deal with idiotic drama. We're not going to do it. We're going to teach the word. But Paul is telling us, my God, from within these savage wolves, they're coming from within, drawing people after themselves. We see it all around. Don't be surprised, family. Don't be dismayed. Stay focused on God. Stay in your word. Keep fellowshipping. You can't afford to be outside because there's too much false prophecy out there. Leading folks on the broad road and taking them away from the narrow, difficult road. Verse 31, he says, therefore, watch and remember. You should have watch and remember underlined. Paul said that by the space of 3 years, I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears. Watch and remember. Stay woke. Never forget. So think about the passion for 3 years, the passion, the energy, the commitment, the urgency, the passion, the energy, the commitment, the urgency, that for 3 years, day and night, Paul is crying as he's praying for them. And we're my youth in here and our young adults. And when we're talking to you like, oh, mom and dad already heard that. Pastor, I heard that. I'm telling you, I'm going to tell you for three, as long as I can, day and night, and I'm going to be crying. Because I know that when you leave the comfort of your home and the church, and when you're in college, the savage wolves are waiting for you to steal, kill, and destroy you. So you don't tell us that you heard it. Mom, are you telling me that again? Dad, are you? Yes, I'm going to tell you. And you don't see at night when I'm crying on behalf of you, because I know what's out there. And I know what's coming. Yes, you've heard it, and you're going to hear it again. And when you leave the house and you're out on your own, then you don't have to hear it day and night. But when you come back to visit, or you spending the night, I'm going to tell you again.
Amen.
And don't tell me you grown and you living with me. I'm going to tell you. If you keep talking, I'm going to tell you to get out. That's a joke. All right. Not you guys. Let me get back to the word. Y'all trying to get me distracted. But look at that. Man, I just, you got to have a whole new respect for Paul. Who cries day and night? And whether it's literal tears or not, you know that Paul is laboring in prayer, saying, my God, this walk is so delicate. This walk is under attack. There's an urgency. Family, make a note. Those of you taking notes, this is what I want you to get out of this message to. And for our church, that we have a heart for the lost. God, give us a heart for the lost. It's urgent. We're praying day and night. We're crying day and night for the lost souls, whether they're in our families or outside our families, because it is no joke, as we're going to see as we keep studying. God, give this church a heart for the lost, that we walk out these doors and anybody we see, we're saying, have you heard about Jesus Christ? Do you know that there's one life that will soon pass and only what's done for Christ will last? Do you know how many healthy people are going to die by the time from Sunday to Sunday comes? Not sick, I'm saying healthy. God, give us a heart for the lost. We don't have as much time as we think we do. And it's shorter today than it was yesterday. So Paul's crying day and night for 3 years. What a pastor, what a shepherd. And then look what he goes on to say. I love Paul for this. And now, brethren, I commend, I present you to God, to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up. The grace of God, the word of God and the grace of God, the loving kindness and the favor, it builds us up and to give us an inheritance. Underline inheritance. We have an inheritance with God. Don't sell out the inheritance for God for this temporary stuff here. And our down payment, as we've been studying, we know that the down payment is the Holy Spirit. That's part of the inheritance. We get the rest when we get with God. Somebody say amen. He gives us a partial down payment, which is the Holy Spirit, which he's going to cash in. So we have an inheritance with God. Sometimes we take that for granted. You talk about stock options. Somebody say, man, this is the best stock option you could ever have. Amen. It's having an inheritance with God. But it says among them which are set apart, underlined sanctified and put set apart. So you have to live a separate life than what the world is telling you to live. So you don't lose your inheritance, because you never get it if you're not connected to Christ. Remember, the most important question that we talked about it last week. The most important question on this earth is, does Christ know you? Yes. Not if you know Christ, because people are, you know God, that's a little g. We're not talking about that. But when Christ looks at you, he says, yes, I know you, as opposed to I never knew you. Remember, you could go to someone's house every Sunday. You go to someone's house every Sunday and not know them. So we're not just talking about coming to church. We're talking about, do you know Christ? Do you have an intimate relationship? Is your heart intertwined with Christ's heart? I could go to your house every week, and we can never connect on an intimate, transparent level. And you would say, well, he comes to visit, but I don't really know him. Amen? Okay, let's get real. Right? I get asked all the time, hey, Carter, you seem like a nice guy. Do you know any guy that's, you know, a nice guy like you? No. No, because I don't know these cats, right? I might hang out with them, but I don't know. Sister Irene, I can't say, well, I got a great guy, because I'm telling you, I don't. Because he's great right here, but with you, he could be an idiot. And you say, well, Carter, why would you introduce me? Well, I thought I knew him. Somebody say amen. Amen. And so the most important thing is that does Christ know you? When you stand before Christ, he's going to say, that's my servant. We were connected. We hung out. We talked every day, even in the midst of your struggles, in the midst of your health issues, being broke, being blessed, you still hung out with me.
That's right.
When I blessed them, they got closer to me. When they got sick, they got closer to me. When they were broke, when things fell apart in 2008, we got closer. Somebody say amen. All right? When 2008 hit, me and the Lord got real close. Hey, man, that was one of the best years of my life. Folks, oh, I'm so glad. I got close, man. I found out what I was really about, what I was really trusting in. Amen. So when we stand before Christ, does Christ know you? Right. Amen. No, I'm not. Ladies, I ain't introducing you to nobody because I don't know these cats. I'm telling you now. I learned the hard way one time. I'm not doing it. Do you know him? Hey, no. You gonna find it ain't gonna. I'm not vouching for nobody. You're going to find out on your own, and I'm going to be out the loop. Amen? Amen? Amen. Paul, look at 33. I love 33. Look at Paul says. He's been crying day and night. He's telling them it's about the word. It's about the grace of God. It's about your inheritance. Stay sanctified. Stay set apart. Sanctified. Family, you all know it means to be set apart, that God has put you apart to be used by him. Right? Yes. Set apart as opposed to being used by the world or being used by the enemy or somebody else. God says, let me sanctify you. Let me clean you up. Let me make you righteous through Christ and put you right here. Now you work for me. All right? That's what it means to be sanctified. It's part of our inheritance. We live a sanctified life because we're going to be married to Christ. Right? You're getting ready for your marriage to Christ. So when you're engaged, you just don't live any kind of way. Somebody say amen. Right? You don't do certain things. I'm engaged. You got the ring on your finger, which is our Holy Spirit, the down payment. So I just don't live any kind of way. I just don't go out to certain places because I'm engaged, right? That's the way it should work. So we're sanctified. Then Paul, he gets personal. He shifts a little bit. He says, look, I have not coveted. Coveted means to be greedy, to set your heart upon, to lust after, to desire, to long for. Paul said, I have not lusted after none of your stuff, after no man's silver or your gold or your clothes. I had a little trouble with that because some of y'all be looking real sharp. Right? Ah, okay, all right, Lord. I don't want their clothes. I'm cool, God. They're good. I'm good, okay? But Paul is saying, look, I've been here with you all. I have no ulterior motive and I have no hidden agenda. I'm not out to try and take advantage of you. What a shepherd. What a good shepherd. Yes. Yes. Paul said, I'm not trying to take advantage of you. Verse 34, you yourselves know that that these hands have ministered, have provided unto my necessities and to them that were with me. Paul said, I worked, we all know Paul's profession, he was a tent maker. Amen? So Paul said, I didn't bleed the church, I didn't leech off the church. I worked. It's okay for a pastor to work. Somebody say amen. It's okay. Well, I mean, I told you about the pastor who couldn't tithe because I wish I could make this up, but I don't have to make it up. He couldn't tithe because he didn't make enough. And when we looked at the records, he made over 80,000 that year. right? You making over $80,000 and you can't tithe to the church that you're pastoring? Come on. But see, because with the hireling, it's never enough. When it's about the money, it's never enough. Paul said, I went after nobody's stuff. I provided. I went to work. And look what he says in the next verse. Look what he says. Why did he go to work? In all things I gave. Oh my gosh, you're an example. That so laboring you are to what? Help the weak. And to remember the words of the Lord Jesus that he himself said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Paul said as a pastor, as a shepherd, he went to work so he could be a blessing to the people. Oh my gosh. Not to take, not to see what he can get. Family, I'm telling you, all right. Our church hosted a conference one year, not this church, the previous church. And this hireling gets up, and at the end of the conference, he says, the Lord told me, he's, you know, what the Lord told me. I'm ready for some word right here. I kid you not, I wish I could make this up. The lady's looking at the word. You know what the Lord told me today? I'm like, okay, give me the word. That 10 people are going to give $1,200. That's what the Lord told him this morning. So I don't know how it works at a conference that whatever you raise in your offering, you split half with the church or you get all of it. So you do the math. That's 12 grand. I would say for our message, but it wasn't because the joker was late. I mean, I wish I could make this up. But God's already warned us. That's the difference between a good shepherd and a hireling. It's never enough with a hireling. It's never enough. But with the good shepherd, there's no ulterior motive. No hidden agenda. It's all about the people. Paul said, I went to work so I could be a blessing. And family, so let me share this with you, right? We all should be working, somebody say amen, to support the weak and to remember that Christ said it's far more blessed to give than it is to receive. All right, those of you taking notes, write this down. As a believer in Christ, giving has to be a part of your DNA. You should be given to some type of ministry, even if it's just a dollar a month. But it gets you out of yourself and it gets you from that emotional attachment to money, because money is the tool, not the assignment. Seeking to save the lost is the assignment. So when I have to give to somebody that needs it, it takes me out of myself and off of my issues. And I got to give, even if it's just a dollar that you're giving to some ministry that you vetted and you give them a dollar. Now, you should be paying your tithes and offering. I'm talking about outside of this. All right, let me make that clear. Amen. All right? You should be paying your tithes and offering. And then outside of this, out of your own home budget, you should be giving to some type of ministry. So you always remember it's far more blessed to give than it is to receive. And I could have you come up and you hear testimony of people who gave and then God blessed them beyond what they even thought they could be blessed. That's the good shepherd. It should be in our DNA to give. God gave. Right? So as I'm studying this, family, all right. Let me see if I have any of read this. Okay. Get out of yourself so you can break the emotional attachment to money. Money's the tool, not the assignment. Not the assignment. Your standard line can't be how much did it cost. You spend $5. Oh my gosh, we're going to the poorhouse. It relaxes, $5. You got to break the emotional attachment and get attached to God. And remember that it's far more blessed to give than it is to receive. I'm not talking about being reckless. I'm not talking about running around giving everybody at the freeway $5. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about it's in your DNA. God, give me the wisdom. What ministry can I support? When do I give? When do I not give? But always have a heart of giving. Pastor, what are you talking about? Okay, let me make it plain. As I run up and down the aisles and get my exercise. Amen. Amen. Paul said, watch out for hirelings. Amen?
Amen.
It's never enough for a hireling. So then the Lord took me to Matthew 25. Let's go to Matthew 25, 31. Let's see how far we get today. We got a few more minutes. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
We all should be working to support the weak. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
That's a Matthew 25, verse 31. And look how the giving ties in. Look, oh man, God's word is just too much. Hey, God just leads me to different scriptures, right, as I'm studying. And hey, man, aren't you glad you have a pastor that studies and loves the word and just tries? Oh, I'm trying to make it as plain as I can for y'all, family. That's a Matthew 25, 31. If you there, say amen.
Amen.
You got to see this for yourself. Amen. And those of you taking notes, get ready. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, remember that word glory is doxa. He's coming in his brilliance. He's coming in his magnificence, his excellence. All right? Oh, this time they're not going to be clowning and spitting and slapping him and all that. Oh, no, this is not happening this time. This is the last judgment. This is when he's coming in all his glory. Oh, they're not, tell us who hit you, spitting on him and slapping. Oh, no, no. This is the King of Kings. This is the Lion of the tribe of Judah. This is not the Lamb that took away the sins of the world. Now it's the last judgment. Okay? You're going to encounter a whole different Jesus. Well, Jesus, I thought you was love. I never knew you. Depart from me. But it said love. That's not what my word said. You've been following a false prophet. You've been on that broad road following a false prophet. That's not what my word says. I came to cause division. Didn't come to cause peace. You got to make a choice. It's a broad road and a narrow road. So here he comes. Here comes the Son of Man shall come in his glory and all the holy angels with him. Then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory, sitting on the throne. Come on now. And before him shall be gathered all nations, underline all nations. The word nations in the Greek is ethnos, where we get ethnicity. Everybody stands before God. If you're a racist, boy, you're going to have a day coming. Because all nations are standing before God. Uh-oh. And he shall separate them one from another as a shepherd. There's the word shepherd. The good shepherd divide what? The sheep from the goats. So everybody's standing before God. Let me see. What's my notes in here? The most important thing, one of the most important things is you have to determine if you're going to be a sheep or you're going to be a goat. Because there is a separation coming. All right, the sheep are connected to Christ. The goats are connected to Satan. It's only two families. You a sheep or you a goat? See, it's not black and white. It's not rich and poor. It's not young. It's not none of that stuff. When we get caught up, we get sidetracked on the broad road and all that other foolishness. It's not gay, straight. It's not short and tall. It's not young and old. Sheep or goat. And that's it. That's what you're going to be judged by.
Amen.
You're not going to get up and talk about, well, you know, I'm from and my parents were from and it's about, well, you know, I was born here. Nobody cares about that. You know, the only part of being born, right? Being born again.
Amen.
That's it. So you can be a sheep. Other than that, you're a goat. That's all. Family, that's the broad road. That's the false prophets making you think it's about being a Republican or a Democrat or this. It's that stupid foolishness. Please don't get caught up.
That's right.
It's going to be a separation, and it's about being a sheep or a goat. The world is very crafty in getting us distracted. Look, and here's the sheep on the right hand, which is honor. Amen. And on the left hand is not good, where the goats go. Okay? You don't want to be on the left. You want to be on the right. The right hand represents honor. The left hand represents something that you don't want to be. Oh, my God. So you made a note. There's everybody standing before God. There's going to be separation. One from another. We're not all the same. We're not all God's children. We're not. We're created by God, but we're not all God's children. Now, we all God's children. Shouldn't we just get along? No, because we're not all God's children. We're created by God, but we're not all children of God. Make a note of that. Because God said he's going to separate his children, which are the sheep, from the goats, which are not his children. The sheep on the right hand, the goats on the left hand. Then shall the king, oh my gosh, will somebody, see how that's capitalized too? The king. See, there are a lot of kings and there's different kingdoms. We get that. Give honor to whom honor is due. But you give God all his glory, because then the king, there are kings that's going to be sitting under the King of Kings. They talk about, so make a note too, that everybody's not going to be saved, because there's a separation from sheep and goats. There's a church that teaches the inclusion doctrine. Say that because of Adam's sin, everybody was born into sin, and because of Christ's resurrection, everybody's saved. Family, I'm just telling you, the doctrine that's out there, let me say it again. The doctrine is, we didn't have to sin because Adam, we were born into sin because of Adam, and since Christ resurrected, we don't have to do anything to be saved because Christ resurrected. Don't have to do nothing. You're automatically saved. Live any kind of way you want to because Christ has already saved you. This says right here, no. There is going to be a separation. It's going to be a separation from the sheep and the goats. Not everybody is going to be saved. Make a note of that. Amen. Don't get caught up in the false doctrine. You got to know your word. Verse 34, then the king shall say, oh my gosh, hoo-hoo. And that's what you want. Come on now, somebody, man, put a star by verse 34. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, on the right hand, come ye blessed of my father, inherit. Remember we talked about that inheritance? That's our inheritance. Inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Come on now. It's already prepared. We accept the free gift and we walk into our inheritance. The down payment is the Holy Spirit. Say, come on. It's from the foundation. God said, I had my eye on you even before you were born. Don't let anybody tell you that you're not special, that you're not loved, that you're not blessed, that you're not created for a purpose, because you are. Says, come on. But look at why. And then we get back to the other point I was making earlier. Look, he says, for I was hungered and you what? No, look. For I was hungered and you what? You gave. This is in our DNA to give. Look at that. You gave me meat. I was thirsty and you gave. It's in our DNA to give. Whether it's our time, it's our talents, our resources, but it's in our DNA. God says you gave. It's in our DNA to give as Christians. Not recklessly, but we give. We're not a hireling. We're not trying to take. We don't have a hidden agenda, no ulterior motive. Look, I was thirsty, for I was hungry and you gave. I was thirsty and you gave. I was a stranger and you took me in. You gave me a place to stay. I was naked and you gave me clothes. I was sick and you gave me a visit. I was in prison and you came to visit me. And then the righteous, verse 37, the righteous answer saying, Lord, when? I don't underline when. When did I see you, God? When? Lord, this is the king talking to the sheep, and the sheep are saying, God, I don't remember seeing you anywhere. When did I see you hungry, and when did I feed you, and when I see you thirsty and gave you drink, and when saw we you being a stranger and took you in, or when were you naked and we clothed you? When did I see you when you were sick or in prison and I came? And then the king, underline 40, verse 40, and the king shall answer and say unto them, inasmuch as you've done it to the least of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me. That's why Paul said we work to be a blessing to the weaker, to those that need it. It's not just about getting and getting and getting. It's about giving. Good shepherds give. Because we understand the only thing we take to heaven is other people. Can't take none of this stuff with us. Can't take any of it with us. And we stand before God, we're probably going to have a recollection of, man, I could have did a lot more. I wish I would have did more. I wish I wouldn't have wasted time on stuff that really didn't matter. I wish I would have told everybody that I saw, as I'm standing before the king and this judgment is going down, I'll probably say, man, why did I should have been over their house every day crying like Paul was crying, saying, get saved. I could have done. Why did I get distracted? Why did I let myself get so distracted? Amen? All right, let's finish this. Amen? We got 2 more minutes and we'll finish this, maybe 3. Verse 41, then he shall say unto them on the left hand, don't want to be on the left hand, family. Depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. Underline, it wasn't prepared for us. But because we refuse God's free gift of salvation, then we got to go to the place that was prepared for the devil and his angels. And he tells them the same thing. I was hungry and you didn't give me anything to eat. Was thirsty and you laughed at me. I was a stranger, you did nothing for me. I needed clothes, you didn't do anything. I was sick, you didn't do nothing. You didn't visit me, you didn't care, you didn't pray, you didn't do anything. Then shall they also answer the same thing. Lord, when we saw thee hungry and thirst and stranger, naked or sick or in prison, did not minister unto thee. And then verse 45, then shall he answer them saying, I guarantee you, inasmuch as you did it not to one of the least of these, you didn't do it unto me. In verse 46, and these shall go away into the everlasting punishment, but the righteous unto eternal life. There is a compare and contrast. Everybody's not saved. We all stand before God. Either you're a sheep or you're a goat. Verse 46. Lord, help us to. Lord, give us a heart for those that are lost. And all this other stuff, this counterfeit, this mirage, this plastic stuff that seems so real, give us discernment to see through it. Verse 46, and these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous, those that are saved through Jesus Christ, been born again, will go into life eternal. And that's where we're going to stop today. We'll pick it up next week as we continue the series on the Good Shepherd. So let us pray and then we'll dismiss. Lord, we need you. Lord, we thank you, God. Give us discernment. Let us see through the counterfeit and the plastic and the false prophets and all the distraction that's trying to keep us on that broad road and keep us away from the narrow, difficult road. God, we need you so much. Give us discernment. Let us be able to distinguish, God, when to give and when not to give. Give us a heart for the lost, Lord. Let us be givers, God. Let us look for opportunities to be a blessing to someone. And we thank you for the jobs that you've given us, not just to save and buy things, but to be able to be a blessing to others. Help us to get our financial lives in priority, Lord. Help us to be good stewards over what you've given us, not wasteful, Lord. God, we can enjoy life, but don't let us lose sight of the urgency to work for you, to share the good news of the gospel. God, from Sunday to Sunday, so many healthy people will die. Maybe even on our job or in our families or people we know, God. Give us a heart for the lost. Give us a heart to do more for you. Give us the the energy, the commitment, the passion, and the urgency like you gave Paul, that we're praying night and day for those that are lost. We're praying for the protection of our children and our siblings and our parents, that they don't get caught up with savage wolves to be deceived. If we don't do nothing else but pray night and day for our loved ones, Lord, God, we know you'll honor that. So we thank you and we bless you, Lord, as we all rededicate our lives just to be a little bit more focused, to work a lot harder for you. We thank you that your word says if we confess our sins, you're faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. It's not about being perfect. It's about being loyal to God. It's about staying connected to God so God knows us in the bad, the good, the ugly times. Our testimony is we stay connected to God and Christ knows me because I spend time with him day and night, every day. Bless your people to hear. Thank you for the revelation, Lord. Now let it lead to transformation, a transformed life in Christ. We thank you, Lord, that you've come to give us life and that more abundantly. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Put your hands together for the Lord. Stand to your feet and you are dismissed. Give someone a hug and you are dismissed.